presence.
Matthew 24:3 says,
While he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples approached him privately, saying,
Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your presence and of the conclusion of the system of things?
What does presence mean? Let's examine the other related scriptures and let the Bible itself tell us the definition of presence. Matthew 24:27 says,
For just as the lightning comes out of the east and shines over to the west, so the presence of the Son of Man will be.
That verse tells us that his presence will not be invisible. It will be as visible as lightning that strikes across the entire sky for all to see. Matthew 24:36-39 says,
Concerning that day and hour, nobody knows, neither the angels of the heavens nor the Son, but only the Father. For just as the days of Noah were, so the presence of the Son of Man will be. For as they were in those days before the flood, eating and drinking, men marrying and women being given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they took no note until the flood came and swept them all away, so the presence of the Son of Man will be.
As verse 36 says, those verses are talking about that day and hour. And what does that day and hour refer to in the Bible? It refers to Armageddon. Those in Noah's day took no note until the flood came and swept them all away. Just as the flood suddenly came and destroyed the wicked, so the presence of the Son of Man will be. So those verses are telling us that the presence of the Son of Man is referring not to years, but to that day and hour, which means Armageddon. 1 Thessalonians 4:15-17 says,
For this is what we tell you by Jehovah's word, that we the living who survive to the presence of the Lord will in no way precede those who have fallen asleep in death. Because the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a commanding call, with an archangel's voice, and with God's trumpet, and those who are dead in union with Christ will rise first. Afterward, we, the living who are surviving, will, together with them, be caught away in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we will always be with the Lord.
Those verses refer to the presence of the Lord as when the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the commanding call, with an archangel's voice, and with God's trumpet. That is describing Armageddon. And when he comes at Armageddon, he will first gather those who are dead in union with Christ, and then, together with them, the living will be caught away in the clouds. So here, presence is also referring to the day of Armageddon. 1 Corinthians 15:23 says,
But each one in his own proper order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who belong to the Christ during his presence, next the end.
In the previous verse, we learned that those who belong to Christ and have died are resurrected at his coming at Armageddon, and together with the anointed who are alive are caught away in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So here in this verse, those who belong to Christ and are resurrected during his presence also refers to the day of Armageddon. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says,
May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may the spirit and soul and body of you, brothers, sound in every respect, be preserved blameless at the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ.
They are preserved at his presence. That is to say, at Armageddon. So here, again, presence means the day of Armageddon. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 and 2 says,
"However, brothers, concerning the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to Him, we ask you not to be quickly shaken from your reason, nor to be alarmed either by an inspired statement or by a spoken message or by a letter appearing to be from us to the effect that the day of Jehovah is here."
Here, Paul is also speaking concerning the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Their being gathered is referring to when the anointed are gathered to Him by being caught away in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Therefore, they are gathered at His presence. That is to say, at Armageddon, or as these verses call it, the Day of Jehovah. So here, again, presence means the Day of Armageddon. 2 Thessalonians 2:8 says,
"Then indeed the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will do away with by the Spirit of His mouth, and bring to nothing by the manifestation of His presence."
The lawless one is done away with at Armageddon. That is to say, at the manifestation of His presence. So here, again, presence means the day of Armageddon. James 5:7 says,
"Be patient then, brothers, until the presence of the Lord. Look, the farmer keeps waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, exercising patience over it, until the early rain and the late rain arrive."
Patience is only needed until His presence. That is to say, until Armageddon. Therefore, those in the last days must continue to remain patient and wait for the presence of the Lord at Armageddon. So here, again, presence means the day of Armageddon. 2 Peter 3:12 says,
"As you await and keep close in mind the presence of the day of Jehovah, through which the heavens will be destroyed in flames, and the elements will melt in the intense heat."
Here we are told to await the presence of the day of Jehovah. That is to say, Armageddon. So here, again, presence means the day of Armageddon. 1 John 2:28 says,
"So now, little children, remain in union with Him, so that when He is made manifest, we may have freeness of speech, and not shrink away from Him in shame at His presence."
He is made manifest at Armageddon, which this verse refers to as His presence. So here, again, presence means the day of Armageddon. Does that definition fit with the question that the disciples asked at Matthew 24:3? Let's read that verse again. It says,
"While He was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples approached Him privately, saying,
'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of Your presence and of the conclusion of the system of things?'"
The apostles asked two questions. The first question was, when will these things be? What things? The destruction of the temple, when not a stone will be left upon a stone. The second question was, what will be the sign of Your presence and of the conclusion of the system of things? In the second question, they asked for a single sign to show two things. Why? Because they knew that both of those things happened simultaneously. Did Jesus' answer also show that both of those things happened at the same time? Let's look and see. Jesus' answer to their second question is in Matthew 24:4-14, which says,
"In answer, Jesus said to them,
'Look out that nobody misleads you, for many will come on the basis of My name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. You are going to hear of wars and reports of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for these things must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be food shortages and earthquakes in one place after another. All these things are a beginning of pangs of distress. Then people will hand you over to tribulation, and will kill you, and you will be hated by all the nations on account of my name. Then too many will be stumbled, and will betray one another, and will hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many, and because of the increasing of lawlessness, the love of the greater number will grow cold. But the one who has endured to the end will be saved. And this good news of the kingdom will be preached in all the inhabited earth for a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come.
In verse 6, Jesus says, "But the end is not yet." And in verse 8, he tells them that these things are a beginning. And then in verse 14, he ends with the words, "And then the end will come." Why does he say all of that? Because in the second part of their question, they asked about the conclusion of the system of things. Jesus did not want them to think that the wars and earthquakes and food shortages marked the conclusion of the system of things. No, those signs would occur, but the end was not yet. Those signs only marked the beginning of the pangs of distress. That is to say, the beginning of the tribulation that precedes the conclusion of the system of things, which is Armageddon. Well, if they only asked about the conclusion, that is to say, Armageddon, why did he tell them about all of those things that lead up to Armageddon? He answers that in verses 32 and 33, which says,
"Now learn this illustration from the fig tree. Just as soon as its young branch grows tender and sprouts its leaves, you know that summer is near. Likewise also you, when you see all these things, know that he is near at the doors."
Compare those two verses with James 5, 7 and 8, which says,
"Be patient then, brothers, until the presence of the Lord. Look, the farmer keeps waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, exercising patience over it, until the early rain and the late rain arrive."
In both accounts, the signs of the growing season are used to illustrate the nearness of our Lord's arrival. In Matthew, we are told that when you see all these things, that he will be near at the doors, meaning Armageddon is very soon. James describes it as the presence of the Lord has drawn close, showing that Christ's presence comes at Armageddon. Now compare this verse in Matthew with its parallel verse in Luke. Matthew 24:39 says,
"And they took no note until the flood came and swept them all away. So the presence of the Son of Man will be."
And Luke 17:30 says,
"It will be the same on that day when the Son of Man is revealed."
In Matthew, the day of destruction is referred to as his presence. But in Luke, that day is when the Son of Man is revealed. As you can see from all of the scriptural quotes, every time that the Bible refers to his presence, it is referring to the day of Armageddon. Subheading: A Warning. After answering their first question in verse 15 through 22, he provides a warning for those living in the last days leading up to his presence at Armageddon. Matthew 24:23-27 says,
"Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will perform great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the chosen ones. Look, I have forewarned you. Therefore, if people say to you, "Look, he is in the wilderness," do not go out. "Look, he is in the inner rooms," do not believe it. For just as the lightning comes out of the east and shines over to the west, so the presence of the Son of Man will be.
We know that this warning was not for those Christians living in Jerusalem before its destruction in the first century, because Christ did not return at that time. And here, in the end, we will not have to look for Christ in hidden places like the wilderness or in the inner rooms. No, no one will have to be told, "Here is the Christ," or "there," because his presence will be as visible and as obvious as lightning that strikes across the entire sky from east to west. Matthew 24:27. So heed his warning and do not listen to those false prophets who say that our Lord's presence is a hidden one. But could his presence be said to describe him being invisibly present in heaven? No, since Jehovah and his Son have been present in heaven, that is to say, the spirit realm, since before the creation of mankind, with the exception of the time on earth, of course. And at Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, "And look, I am with you all the days until the conclusion of the system of things." So his invisible presence, in that sense, is nothing new either. At Matthew 18:20, he even said that, "Where there are two or three gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst." So his prophesied presence at the conclusion of the system of things cannot represent him being here with us invisibly, since that has been the case since his time on earth. Subheading: That Day. After Christ told his disciples what to look for leading up to his presence at Armageddon, he next shares with them what the day of Armageddon itself will be like. Matthew 24:29-31 says,
"Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will beat themselves in grief, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a great trumpet sound, and they will gather his chosen ones together from the four winds, from one extremity of the heavens to their other extremity."
Do his followers have anything to worry about? Will their lives be in danger on the day of his presence when Armageddon strikes? No. He comforts them about that too. Matthew 24:36-42 says,
"Concerning that day and hour, nobody knows, neither the angels of the heavens nor the Son, but only the Father. For just as the days of Noah were, so the presence of the Son of Man will be. For as they were in those days before the flood, eating and drinking, men marrying and women being given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they took no note until the flood came and swept them all away, so the presence of the Son of Man will be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken along and the other abandoned. Two women will be grinding at the handmill, one will be taken along and the other abandoned. Keep on the watch, therefore, because you do not know on what day your Lord is coming."
On the day that our Lord comes, life will be carrying on normally. People will be eating and drinking and buying and selling and marrying and going to work as usual. Of course, with persecutions. Mark 10:30. Satan is the ruler of this world, after all. 1 John 5:19. Subheading: Conclusion. So to conclude, the definition of his presence being the day of Armageddon fits well the question that Jesus' disciples asked, and the answer that Jesus gave. The conclusion of the system of things and his presence arrive together at Armageddon, after all of the signs occur. And from that time on, we will enjoy his continued presence on earth. Satan, the ruler of this world, will be thrown into the abyss for 1,000 years, and our Lord will begin his 1,000-year reign.